What does it take to build a vibrant downtown? That is the multi-billion dollar question that a lot of cities are looking at. Detroit has certainly built up its downtown. Portions of New York have recreated themselves. Our next guest is an architect, urban planner, CEO of AGA Public Realm Strategists, the group responsible for rebuilding the World Trade Center in New York. So Alexander Garvin knows a thing or two about vibrant downtowns, and in his new book, The Heart of the City, he looks at several cities' downtown areas. He's on the line with us right now. Alex, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you as well. I appreciate your time this morning. What is it that makes a great downtown?
A great public realm and a high-density, mixed-use downtown. The difference between those downtowns that have thrived throughout the last century, like Dallas and Los Angeles, and those that declined, like Detroit, is that the ones that are doing well, and those that are reviving, like Lower Manhattan or downtown Los Angeles, are downtowns that have high-density, mixed-use concentrations of buildings and not a single function business district.
When you look at those downtowns that have declined, like Detroit, which I would argue it is making a comeback, but you know, it's
I would not argue that.
Okay, well,
I went to Detroit a year and a half ago when I was writing the book because I didn't believe all the hoopla. Yes, Detroit is struggling. Yes, it is coming back. But to give you a sense of proportion, downtown Detroit, and I'm not talking about the whole city, just the downtown inside the highway loop, has 5,000 residents. Downtown Buckhead, which is one of three downtowns in Atlanta, has 12,500. That's a big difference.
You need residents.
That's right. I got to Detroit and at 9:30 in the morning on a Friday, got on the People Mover because I wanted to take photographs looking at the downtown from above before I went walking there. I'd been to Detroit many times before. And when I got on, I timed it. The circuit takes exactly 20 minutes, and in those 20 minutes, three people got on and off the train, two of which were policemen. There is more automotive traffic in downtown New Haven, Connecticut, which is a tiny city in comparison, than there is in downtown Detroit. Yes, Dan Gilbert has bought up a number of buildings. He's brought Quicken Loans back downtown. There are things that are happening, but this is not a major downtown.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are working downtown and living in the suburbs and visiting downtown to go to see the Tigers or to go to the DIA, but they're not living there. And that, you say, makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yes. You know, in 1950, Lower Manhattan had 800 residents. Today, Lower Manhattan has 65,000 residents. That's a big difference.
It's a huge difference.
The reverse happened in Detroit.
So what can Detroit do? I mean, what do the Dan Gilberts and the Mayor Duggins of Detroit need to do to repopularize the city?
The first thing I would say is that its business improvement district is doing everything right. They compare with any other downtown business improvement district, the quality of the public realm, the renovation of the parks, the creating of signage, the promotion of downtown. They're doing a great job. Gilbert is doing a great job. He's bought up nearly 100 buildings now, yeah, and they're slowly being tenanted, both with stores on the ground floor and residents upstairs. There isn't a large enough market in metropolitan Detroit that wants to live downtown. And in the area completely surrounded by vacant properties, nobody's coming back. When you have a great public realm and you have a really beautiful landscape, you can thrive. And there is an example right in the edge of downtown Detroit, and that's Lafayette Park.
Yeah.
One of the great urban renewal projects of the 20th century. It's fully tenanted, in great shape, and thriving.
Do you think that there was too much emphasis put on the suburbs, say, in the mid to late 20th century, as people were leaving cities, suburbs were being built up, and we've got a lot of great, yeah, if you look at Metro Detroit, there's a lot of great suburban, towns and cities, but...
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what killed downtowns, isn't it?
Yes, but it wasn't by public action. It was that people wanted to have a house with a backyard. They wanted kids to be able to walk to school. That was difficult to do in downtowns. And the two things that the federal government did to make that easier was the interstate highway system, which began in 1956, which made it easy to travel by car from your downtown employment to your suburban residence. And the other started during the Depression when the FHA was created, and they would insure bank loans for resident-owned houses on single-family lots. So that made it possible for people to do what they wanted to do. What needs to be done is to make the environment downtown so exciting that people want to be there. That's beginning to happen in Detroit. But it has happened in Lower Manhattan, in Los Angeles, in Cincinnati, in cities all over the country, which are resurgent.
How long does it take for a Detroit to become a Lower Manhattan or a Los Angeles, where there is enough excitement and enough, I guess, confidence in the city infrastructure to bring people down?
It's not just a matter of time, and it's not just a matter of the local leadership doing the right things. In the case of Detroit, this was a downtown that serviced a city that had a population in excess of a million more people than it does today. The market doesn't exist. People have to be in a growing metropolitan area, and now it's not Detroit. It shrank. There was a growing metropolitan area in Miami, in Los Angeles, in Dallas, in New York City, and even in such places as Cincinnati.
And I guess, you know, it begs the question, what will bring people back? And I don't know if it's that we don't have the right business to attract workers, or if there aren't the right amenities, or if it's just not Detroit's time.
It's just not Detroit's time. It may turn around. And in fact, I would have told you that Lower Manhattan was in complete decline. I wrote the book because of Lower Manhattan. I had been in charge of rebuilding the World Trade Center in the first 15 months after 9/11. And all my life, Lower Manhattan had been in decline. It had been losing jobs. The Midtown Manhattan had become the major downtown in this metropolitan area. And I was concerned after 9/11 that we would lose Lower Manhattan entirely. Well, it didn't happen. And 2 years ago, I went to see the new railroad station that was opening downtown. It was the rebuilt PATH terminal that goes from New Jersey. And I don't like the building, but it was there. I decided, you know, I haven't looked at Lower Manhattan in 15 years. I've been coming to meetings and going to buildings and talking to people. And so I started to look at the surrounding area, and it was thriving. And I couldn't understand what had happened. So I went home, and I looked up the numbers. Lower Manhattan had lost one quarter of its office space in the last 25 years. And there were 9,000 additional jobs that hadn't been there in 9/11.
Wow.
At first, I thought, this is impossible. I'm a trained architect. Didn't take me much time to figure out you are using less space per worker today. And in fact, in 1970, it was 500 square feet. Today, it's 150. And obviously, all the Class B office space had been vacated because it was no longer needed when you rent less space, even at a higher cost per square foot, in a brand new building. Developers began to buy up these old office buildings and convert them to apartment houses, which is why we have 65,000 people living in Lower Manhattan now, and we had 800 in 1970.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that's beginning to happen in Detroit.
Yeah.
I mean, I walked up the street and saw these buildings that Dan Gilbert is buying, and there are people moving into them. But 5,000 people doesn't make a downtown. We need much more than that.
Need more than that. Well, I mean, that's how our world is changing, really. We were a manufacturing state, Michigan, and while we still do manufacture things, we do it smaller, I think, than we used to. We don't need as much factory space. We don't need as much office space. And so we do need to adjust to the changing times, don't we?
But deindustrialization happened all across the United States.
Yeah, that's right.
Not just Detroit. And you cannot blame these changes on things that Detroit did or didn't do. Detroit did have one thing that did set it back, and that's the riot of 1967.
Of course, yeah.
Look, I would have told you that Cincinnati would never come back because of the four-day riot in the beginning of the 21st century in the over-the-Rhine section of Cincinnati. I didn't believe it could come back, so I took a similar trip to the one that I took to Detroit. I went to Cincinnati. I was blown away. There are more people living over the Rhine than I ever imagined. And they created a development corporation that started buying up buildings there. They had a problem of vagrants. They were very clever about it. The money came from Procter & Gamble and some of the other large corporations. They started buying up buildings that had retail outlets on the ground floor consisting of either liquor stores or bars. They vacated the bars and the liquor stores first. Then they fixed the buildings. They put them up for rent. They started buying other buildings. Today, over the Rhine, is a thriving residential section of downtown Cincinnati.
What a great case study.
That was done in less than 15 years.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. What do you think of public-private partnerships, governments and private investors teaming up? I know there are a lot of people that look at it, and there's the district Detroit, I think, is a good example where the Illich family is a billionaire family got a lot of tax breaks to build up the entertainment district and has not necessarily made good on its promises there. Do you favor or have any opinion on public-private partnerships?
Well, I think we have one that is essential, and if it doesn't exist in the downtown, you better hurry up and create them, and they are business improvement districts. Mm-hmm. We have a very good one in downtown Detroit. The best one in the United States is the Center City District in Philadelphia. These are associations of property owners and businesses that are located downtown. After the Second World War, there was a demand for additional services in every city. And all the local city councils said, we don't have enough money, we can't do this. But they did vote twice a week, garbage pickup and additional security. And, of course, they did it for their constituents. Nobody lived downtown. So the services went to the residential neighborhoods ringing the downtown. There was a revolution.
Interesting.
The business people finally decided they would tax themselves and provide the services themselves that the local government was not providing. And you've got 1,400 of them now in the United States. And I would argue they are the most important public-private entity. The taxes are collected by the local government and turned over to the corporate board. And in most cases, the corporate board is not just property owners, but also government officials. And they're the ones that are providing the services. So if you go to downtown Detroit, the Cadillac Square is in terrific shape today because of the Business Improvement District.
Right.
And that's the first step. And that has happened basically since 1990. We started to proliferate these business improvement districts. And I would say that's the single most important. I'm not in favor of subsidizing profit-making businesses.
It's fascinating stuff. We could talk all day about this. The book is called The Heart of the City, Creating Vibrant Downtowns for a New Century by Alexander Garvin. Alex, thanks for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
And I hope people will read my book.
Absolutely, and come back and visit Detroit sometime.
Great.
All right, take care.
Have a nice day.
You too. Bye now.